Ladies and gentlemen, the
You have kids too, don't you?
Pardon me?
You have children?
Yes, sir.
How many?
Three.
Are you married?
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is name. N-A-M-E.
Really?
You bet your life. And now, here he is, the one, the only...
It's nothing to shout about. There are a dime a dozen. Well, here I am again with $2,000 for one of our couples, and if any of them say the secret word, the duck will come down and pay him each $50.50. Our duck gives away more money than any other duck on the air. No other poultry farm can make that statement. The word tonight is name. Hasta la vista. Okay, Rockefeller, take off. George, who's first?
Well, this is Sylvia Thompson and her partner, Ben Zeppa.
Are you wearing a foundation?
No.
You look thinner tonight.
I do?
I guess the way you stand.
I guess you must be.
I just thought you were wearing a foundation.
Well?
Have you ever worn one?
No, I never have.
Wouldn't hurt you to...
I think Mrs. Thompson and Mr. Zeppa are still waiting out there, He's a...
Waiting out where?
Out right out here.
What are you, tied up or something?
No, no. This is where they are now.
Oh, well, welcome. Welcome from Moose Lodge, number 9, East Liverpool, Ohio. Say the secret word and you'll divide $101. It's a common word, something you always have with you. Well, let's see. Sylvia Thompson and Ben Zeppa, eh? You make quite a combination there. Sylvia, how tall are you?
I'm 6 foot one in my stocking feet, and I'm almost 6'4" in my heels.
Oh. Well, do you know a lot of heels?
No.
And Shorty, what is your height?
4'8".
4'8", huh? Is that the class you're in, 4'8"?
No.
4'8"?
That's my height.
Oh. 4'8" what, I mean?
Feet. Four feet. 4'8", 8 inches.
Huh? You're almost as tall as she is. You're the tallest 4'8" I've ever seen. You must have 2 feet elevated shoes on there. Huh? Are you married, Sylvia?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I have a little girl.
Kate takes care of you. You have a little girl?
Uh-huh. She's 5 months old.
5 months old, huh? How tall is your husband?
He's 6'6" in his stocking feet.
No. But do you all walk around in your stocking feet?
Sure.
Don't you wear any shoes at all in your house?
No, heavens no.
Well, together you're 13 feet, huh?
Yeah.
Just about. Well, that's an advantage. At least you're never short at the end of the month like most married couples. How did you meet this dinosaur, Sylvia?
Dinosaur.
Didn't she a singer, Dinosaur? Well, this giant that captivated you.
Well, we were in a tip-topper dance, and...
You were where?
I met him in a tip-topper dance.
Tip-topper dance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were dancing.
So what do you do? Go walk around and tip your tops?
No, that's a club. That's
a club?
That's a club for tall people.
Oh.
The girls have to be 6 foot in their stocking feet.
Here we go again.
And the boys have to be 6'4" in their stocking feet.
Uh-huh. Pretty gamey around here, huh?
And then they cheat that they're that size too, because in the introductory dinner, well, they measure them, and they have a...
They measure them? What do they have, an undertaker there? They lie down and measure?
No, they have a little stick that's called Little Joe. And you stand on it in your stocking feet. And you have a light on. The light goes out if you measure that correct height.
And if you don't, he goes out, huh?
Well, a lot of times they stretch people.
Was that a seventh inning stretch or just
One time they put a girl over the balcony and they held her, so she stretched.
They held her in the balcony? I held a girl once in the balcony, but I didn't stretch her.
I just held her, that's all, until the usher threw us both out.
And she got in, too.
She got in the balcony?
No, she got in the club.
Oh. Well, is the club in the balcony? Or don't you have a club downstairs?
No. The club is a social club.
Well, it's quite
excellent. Lots of people. And we have lots of fun.
Mm-hmm. Stretching each other, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, you sound like you and your husband make an ideal couple, Sylvia. And if I ever wind up sitting in back of you in a movie theater, I'm certainly going to ask for my money back. Your name is Ben Gazzara?
Who?
Ben Gazzara? Is that your name?
No, Ben Zeppo.
Ben Zeppo, eh? That's my brother, Zeppo. You're not my brother, are you?
My name is Ben Zeppo.
You say the sacred word, Ben Zeppo. So you and your partner each get $50.50. Okay, eat it. There you are, and you'll get the 50 cents later. We just don't have any change. See, it used to be $100 for the sacred word. Now it's 101 on account of the other shows giving away such huge sums. Obviously, this is true. We have increased the amount. Because we don't take a back seat for anybody.
I didn't know what I said.
How old are you, Ben?
13.
18. You must lead a very clean life because you don't look a day over 30. Were you named after Benjamin Franklin?
No.
Who were you named after? Big
My
Ben,
father.
The alarm clock?
No.
Oh, your father is an alarm clock?
No.
Oh. You know, I never was 18 years old. I was 12 once. In fact, I was 12 for about 8 years. In fact, all the brothers were. When we used to travel in Baltimore, if you were 12 or under, then you went on half fare on the railroad train. And for years, we traveled this way. I remember once, my mother used to travel with us, and we didn't meet her, but she thought we did, huh? And the conductor came along and asked for the tickets, and she gave him 4 half-fare tickets. And he says, "Where are the kids?" And she said, "Well, they're around the train someplace." And he looked in the washroom, and Harper was shaving in there. This is true. And the other two boys were in the baggage car shooting dice. And I was making a play for a dame across the aisle. The conductor come back and says, "Mrs. Marks, if these kids of yours are under 12, I'm too young to be running this train," and he jumped off at the next station. Oh, actually, how old are you, Ben?
13.
Now, you're sticking to that story, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Were you born in L.A., Ben?
No, I was born in Liberal, Kansas.
Liberal, Kansas, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, could you tell us something about Liberal? Or?
Well, I don't know very much about Liberal because we moved whenever I was about a month old.
Oh, well, then I don't imagine you know much about it, huh?
Oh, well, I know that my grandfather worked there in a he owned a machine shop, and you know, the machine shop burned down, and he didn't have no insurance, so.
Well, it's very silly of him to set fire to this thing if he had no insurance. You tell your grandfather the next time he wants to practice arson to take out the insurance first. Huh? Because that way you can be pauperized in no time. Do you have any brothers and sisters? Now talk slowly so I can get this stogie lit. Huh?
I have 3 brothers. And
talk slower. Huh?
I have 3 brothers and one.
Okay, speed it up.
I have 3 brothers and 1 sister.
Oh. How do you get along with your brothers and sisters?
Okay, all except for my little brother, 6, Jimmy. I tell him to come in the house, and I go and get him, and he won't come, so I hit him, and he starts crying, and he comes to my mother, and my mother gives me heck, so if I don't get him, I get heck, and if I get him, I get heck.
Well, do you always have to get him? Isn't there any of the other brothers that could get him?
No, I'm the only one that can get him.
Oh, you're the only one that can handle him, huh? Well, you have to realize Jimmy's just a baby. You should never hit a little kid like that. The thing to do is to disintegrate him with a ray gun. You got a ray gun?
No.
No. You have a space helmet or anything of that stuff?
No, I'm a little bit big for him.
Oh, well, that's a very snobbish attitude. I'm surprised you'd go, I have a space helmet home and a ray gun. Of course, I'm in my second childhood. Do you have any girlfriends, or are you too small for that?
No, I have one girlfriend.
You have one girlfriend?
Yeah, one.
Only one?
One.
Well, how serious is this romance? Do you eventually plan on marriage to this charmer?
I'm going to be a bachelor.
What are you teasing her for? What do you go with her for?
I don't know.
You go with her? You don't know why you're going with her?
Well.
You ever hit her?
Well.
I mean, to make her get in or anything?
Well, I don't hit him.
Well, why do you object to matrimony? I mean, have you been observing matrimony? And...
Well, yeah. But, see, if you want to go fishing and that like I do, and I like to go fishing, and you go and... And she doesn't want you to go, and you come back with a big fish, and then she won't cook it.
And this is your reason for remaining single? Well, she won't cook the fish? You know, in Eskimo, they have marriages up there, too, and they eat their fish raw. You could try that, you know. Would you get married if she would cook the fish? You wouldn't, huh? Oh, but Hoover's married, and he goes fishing, huh? Well, how do you know she won't let you go fishing? Have you discussed fishing with her?
No, she doesn't like fishing. She doesn't like dogs neither.
Does she like you?
I haven't asked her yet.
Well, Ben, regarding fishing, it's true. As you get older, you realize that once you swallow the bait and they reel you in, females lose all further interest in fishing. And isn't that true?
No.
Do you go fishing?
Yes, I go with my husband.
You do, huh? In your stocking feet?
And I cook them, too.
Oh, you cook your husband?
No.
He was cooked the minute you nailed him, I suppose. Well, let's get back to the Sylvia Thompson story. That's you. And you say you met your husband at a dance for tall people?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, what happened after that when he proposed? Did he get down on one knee or both knees?
Well,
exactly. I mean, how did he propose? And don't leave out a single significant detail. I want to know every bit of it.
Well, he didn't get down on either knee. We were sitting on a Davenport watching an old time.
This was in Iowa?
No, this was in Calabasas.
Oh, you said in Davenport.
No, we were sitting on a Davenport.
Oh, well, there is a Davenport in Iowa, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever been there?
In Calabasas.
Oh.
And, let's see. Oh, we were watching this English movie, and he says...
Watching it where? In the theater?
No, on a Davenport in Calabasas.
You go to English movies on your Davenport?
Yeah. Oh, on a
That's
television.
Quite a trick. Most people have to have a TV set.
And so he said, would you like to get married? And I said, yeah. And
this is while the picture is going on?
Yeah. And so then he said, would you like to get married? And I said, yeah. And so 4 months later, well, we got married, and here we are.
Well, I guess those old English movies can drive a fella out of his mind. What was the picture? Do you remember?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, was it a romantic picture that perhaps stimulated this interest in?
Well, gee, I don't even remember. I just remember this blimey talk in it.
Blimey talk?
Oh. They were saying blimey.
Oh, I see. Well, have you ever gone with a short fellow?
Yeah. Oh, I've danced with a short fellow. Oh. Yeah, several short fellows.
Yeah, and it's no good?
Mm-mm. That's what was so exciting at this first tip-top of dance. Well, it was this most wonderful feeling. Everyone is taller than I am.
Well, but isn't there something nice about dancing with a short fellow so you can't see his face?
You have a point there.
Thank you. it shaved a couple of weeks ago. Ben, I realize the interests of a 12-year-old boy are pretty varied, but what do you like to do best of all?
I like to sing.
You sing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, what do? You sing? Are you in the glue club or the glee club at school?
No, I don't like the glee club too well because they sing these long-haired deals. I like popular tunes.
Long-haired deals?
Yeah, you know, like, If I Were an Apple on a Tree.
No, I don't. What kind of an apple was it, do you remember? Well, it must have been a Baldwin if it was long-haired, huh? No, just the reverse, you think, huh? You know, when I was your age, I sang in a Presbyterian church choir in Madison Avenue, New York. This is true. And I sang in this choir until they found out what was the matter with it. Ben, I'd like to hear you sing. Could you sing something for us? What are your favorites?
Oh, Mambo Italiano, Heart. Popular songs like that.
Mambo Italiano and what else?
Heart.
Heart. What do you mean, heart?
Heart.
My heart stood still?
No, just heart.
Heart. Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
Heart, huh? Well, is it gotta have heart? Is that the name of it?
No, it's just heart. That's the first word. You gotta have heart.
And the name of the song is Heart?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what key do you warble in as a rule?
B flat.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it isn't good, you'll B flat at the finish of this song. Mr. Meakin, could you knock off a few notes for Ben here? Just fake it. Nobody, including your orchestra, will know the difference. Go ahead, Ben. Tell us.
You gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you will never win, that's when the grin should start. You gotta have more. Mustn't sit around and moan. Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year at home. When your luck is bad and zero, get your chin up off the floor. Mister, you can be a hero. You can open any door, but to do it, you gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course, but get that old horse before the car. First, you gotta have heart.
And you've got an excellent pair of pipes, and someday if you work hard, you could be another Caruso.
No, an Eddie Fisher.
What? What's that?
Eddie Fisher.
Well, I don't blame you, Sonny, but it's a mistake to want to be another Eddie Fisher.
Yeah, because he's married.
No, it isn't that so much, but there's only one Debbie Reynolds. Well, you're a charming couple, and I hope you both make a lot of money tonight, because right now we're going to play You Bet Your Life. Now, you know how to play this game, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
You know your partners now, and we only want one answer between you.
Mm-hmm.
We start you off with $100, and you miss a question, you lose half your bankroll. Have you met Mr. Fenneman?
No.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Hello, Ben.
This is, Mrs., Ben, what is
Thompson,
her name?
Thompson.
Mrs.
Yes.
Yes.
How are you?
Don't overdo it. Go ahead. Now, you selected the musical category. These are all top tunes of the last 20 years. And remember, the more the question is worth, the harder it is. Now, what do you want to start with? 10, 20, 50, all the way to 100.
100.
I think you better discuss this with your partner.
We did.
Oh, you agree. When did you meet? This morning, you two? Now, this song was written in 1936, but it became very popular in 44. Let's see if you can remember it. Play, Jack. You don't know, guess. I'll give you a hint. It's not My Country Tears of Thee. It's Poinciana.
You lost half your $100. You still have $50.
Well, now, you've got quite a ways to go. Now, don't go down. What are you going to go for?
90.
90? Originally, this was an old sea shanty, and that became a big hit when a new set of lyrics were added. You tell me the name of it. Okay, Jack.
Bill Bum Trousers.
Sing it, Ben. Sing it.
Bill Bum
Trousers. That's it. They're all short in the waist, Ben. But that's right. That's for $90, and you now have $140.
Right.
Now what are you going to go for? $80, $50, $30?
$80.
This song was written by Ray Noble. Now you give me the title of it. What is it?
The very thought of you.
The very thought of you was absolutely on the button. Huh?
You now have $220.
Now, it's your last chance to beat the other couples. What are you going to go for? $70? $70. This novelty song was a big hit a few years ago. Let's see if you can identify it. Play, Jack.
How much is that doggy in the window?
As you ought to be ashamed to take the money, Ben. That's a pretty easy question for $70.
And you wind up with $290.
Well, thanks and good luck to the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. You want to get in the show?
No.
Did you know Poinciana? Come back later and I'll give you 50 cents.
Well, Groucho, just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Mr. Robert McLeod to be on the show tonight, and his partner is Mrs. Pearl Money. Folks, would you come in, please, and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome to Your Betcha Life. Say the secret word and divide $101. It's a common word, something you always have with you. Pearl Money and Robert, what is it?
McLeod,
huh? Oh. Mrs. Money, last time I saw you, you were in my wallet. Where are you from?
Sadlersville, Tennessee.
Where?
Sadlersville, Tennessee.
Sadlersville? You're from the Sabbath, huh? And you're actually Confederate money, huh?
Then I went to,
I assume you married Pearl, is that right?
Yes.
And you married money, eh?
That's true.
You're very shrewd. What's his first name?
Bill Money. Plain Bill.
Is it a $1 or a $2 bill? Huh? I'm sorry, Pearl. I just couldn't help it. That joke was burning a hole in my pocket. Well, no more jokes about money. Enough is enough. Now, Pearl, can you lie down on your back and touch your toes?
Well, I don't believe I could.
Well, try it, huh?
Lay down on my back?
And touch your toes.
You mean you want me to lay down?
Yes, this kind of a show. That's the kind of a show we have. Over here, Pearl. Now, you just lie down right here, huh? Now you touch it. You lie down and then get up and touch your toes. Now touch your toes. It's not easy. Well, that's pretty good. It's pretty good, huh? You know why I asked you to do that?
See how limber I was?
No, I just wanted to see if we could double our money. That's all. You're a good sport, kid. Well, what is your name again, Shorty?
My name is Robert McLeod.
Boy, the natural affinity between the Scots and money is something that... Okay, now beat it. Now, I don't want to see you again tonight. You're pauperizing with the soda company. It's $50 for you and $50 for you because that's the sacred word, Ben Piazza. Was that... Sacred word is pale money. No. Name. Now, what is... Does everybody call you Shorty or what?
No, I'm affectionately known as Scotty Groucho.
Scotty Groucho?
No, Scotty.
Scotty, well, that's what they call a dog, isn't it?
Same thing.
Yeah. Why do they call you Scotty? Are you part Swedish?
No, I'm from a place called Queen's Park, which is in the west side of Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh. Well, if you were 100% proof Scotch, you'd have a government stamp on the top of your head. Unless you were bootlegged. How tall are you, Scotty?
I'm 5 foot, Groucho.
Oh. Well, where do you work?
I'm at the Beverly Hilton Hotel in the Red Lion Bar.
The Red Lion Bar?
The Red Lion Bar.
What do you do there? Do you serve short beers?
No, I'm a bartender, but I sort of think of myself as a practitioner, you know? Take the beefs, but the wives and this and that, and the next thing, you know?
How do you think? Suppose it'll be pretty swanky at that hotel, isn't it? Is there anything outstanding about your bar besides the price?
Yes, insofar as we do not allow ladies in during the daytime.
How dreary, eh? Why are women barred from your bar? What's wrong with women? That's a pretty ridiculous question, isn't it?
There's nothing wrong with women.
No, you bet there isn't, Scotty. And don't you ever say there is.
Well, I'd be 100% you did. I'm all for them.
Yeah. You're for all of them?
I'm not that big, Groucho.
No. Well, how did the ladies react to this snide discrimination?
Well, the ladies sort of reacted to it so violently indeed that we had to shift the opening hour for ladies from 6 o'clock back to 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So you mean they can go in at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
They can go from 4 p.m. until 2 a.m.
Until 2 a.m. they can stay there? That's from 4 till 12, Oxen, Sparks, Higgins, and 9 and Dry. You mean they can stay there 10 hours?
Yes, they can stay there 10 hours.
Well, if they stay there 10 hours, they're no ladies, Scotty. In your opinion, what is the most popular feature of this saloon, Scotty? It must have something.
Yes.
To keep a woman there for 10 hours.
Well, the most popular feature I find in the room is during the daytime when you can see out into the swimming pool and cabana area. We have one window that goes the whole length of the room.
Mm-hmm. This is what they call a picture window.
A picture window. Mm-hmm. And it's very beautifully done. Mm-hmm. And of course you can see out the window and see the girls lying at the bathing pool and sunning themselves and... Mm-hmm. Well, use your own imagination after that, you know.
Are you married?
No, thank you. I'm happy.
Well, who's saving the customers while you're over there with your nose... with your nose pressed against that picture window? What's the favorite drink in your bar? A Peeping Tom Collins?
No, don't you know. Incidentally, do you know what the Scotch drink?
Whiskey, I imagine, huh?
Oh, yes, but we drink something else with it.
More whiskey, huh?
No, we have a beer chaser. You know, over here is a boilermaker.
Yeah, that's true.
See, the Scotchman always figured that he drank Scotch, he gets drunk. He drank beer by itself, he gets full. So this way he drinks Scotch and beer and gets drunk and full at the same time.
This is providing somebody else is paying for it.
Naturally.
Scott will pay for the beer, but the other guy pays for the whiskey, is that?
Most definitely, yes.
Do you know any Scotch songs, Scotty?
Oh, I know a few. That's why every Scotsman of them. You know, Roman and the Blowman, I Love the Lassie, Doc and Doris, Nice to Get Up in the Morning. That was one of Harry Lauder's favorites.
Oh, Nice to Get Up in the Morning?
Yes.
Well, could you sing a few bars of that for the customers?
Certainly.
Well, tell us, huh?
Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning when the sun begins to shine at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summer time.
Good man!
But when the snow is snowing and it's murky overhead. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning, but it's better to lie in your bed.
Hey! Now, Pyle, you're married?
Yes.
How did you meet your husband, Mr. Money?
Well,
was it the name that attracted you?
No, I didn't know his name when I first met him, naturally. I went into a...
You know his name now, though, huh?
Oh, yes. No. I went into a restaurant to get some information, and he was sitting on the stool talking to another gentleman in reference to what he was going to have to learn when he went into the Army. So he asked...
Was this a barroom?
No, it was just a regular restaurant.
Uh-huh. He was going in the Army and he wasn't in a barroom?
No, he probably had been before he got there because he had
a
cut on over his eye and his eye was bleeding.
He was bleeding over the eye?
Yes.
And what was he eating while this was going on?
Well, he was more or less talking. I don't think he was doing much eating.
No.
at that time, and he asked the waitress for a cloth to wipe the blood off his face, and she said, we don't furnish cloths here to the customers. We only furnish food. So I felt sorry.
You could have got a shredded wheat, you know, and wiped that thing around.
I felt sorry for him. And I asked him if he would like me to drive him to a doctor. And he said,
you were single at the time, huh?
Yes.
You were on the prowl then?
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. You were. How long after this did you nail him?
Well, the next day.
You were a shy little thing, weren't you? I've heard of speedy marriages, but this must set a record sometimes. Weren't you a little worried about the consequences of this hasty decision?
I sure was. I didn't have time to tell him I'd had 3 children by a former marriage.
It was a bad week for this fellow, wasn't it? First he gets a crack on the skull, then he gets married, and then the next day he finds out he's the father of 3 children. All in 2 days. That's better than any of the boys on our show can do. Even Clockworthy can't equal that. What kind of work does your husband do now?
We do tree service work.
Tree service?
Yes.
What kind of a business is that?
Well, we top and trim and remove trees. And by the way, our location is 332 Southwestern. Not a tree service.
Oh, well, I'll remember that then, in case I want anything removed in my house. Like some relatives, huh? Well, what do you do while your husband is up in the tree? Are you down below sawing it down?
No, I'm generally up there with him most of the time. Sometimes.
You don't trust him, huh?
Not all the time.
He can't get a moment to himself, this fellow. Well, are you pulling my leg? I mean my limb? Do you really climb trees?
I sure do.
Wish we had. Is there a tree in the audience? Well, money may not grow on trees, but apparently there's plenty of money up there climbing around. Huh?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'd like to go
on. You work real hard.
Yes. And are you very happy with this present husband? Huh?
Oh, yes, very happy.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because as a rule, a marriage that is affected so quickly can frequently turn out disastrously.
Sure.
And I'm very happy for your sake that this one turned out so well. And do the children love their newfound father?
Oh, yes, very much so.
How old are the kids?
Well, the oldest one is 23, and the next one's 22, and the next one's 21, the next one's 5, and the next one's 4.
Oh, there have been some new bushes since the... Well, keep it up, keep it up, Pearl, because if there's one thing we need out here is more population. Well, I'd like to go on with this chat, but the time has come to play You Bet Your Life. You both know how to play this game?
Yes, sir.
Well, anyway, we want one answer between you. Remember your partners. You've selected a thumbnail movie quiz. Pearl, I'll give you a brief synopsis of some of the most famous movies of all time, and you give me the title of the movie. Some of these go quite a way back. And remember, the more the questions, boy, the tougher they are. Is. It is. Am. I had my tongue around my eye tooth, and I couldn't see what I was saying. It's an old Ed Wynn joke. Now, what do you want to start with? 10, 20, 50, 100. What?
We'll try $50.
$50. Well, that's a good Scottish right. My brothers and I made a picture in which practically the whole cast was crowded into a small stateroom in one scene. What was the name of this movie?
Seven Brides and Seven Brothers.
That would have been a much better title, but it happened to be A Night at the Opera. And, now what are you going to try?
You have $50 left from the 100.
So we'll shoot for the other 50, huh, Pearl?
Well, you can go for 40 or 60. 50 has been taken now.
50 has been taken. We'll take 60.
60. In 1934, both Claudette Colbert and Clark Gable won Academy Awards for their parts in a Frank Capra comedy. You tell me the name of it.
It Happened One Night.
What was that?
It happened one night.
That's right. It happened one night.
You now have $110.
Oh, what are you going to try? 70? 80?
We'll try for 100, Groucho.
100? In 1928, Buddy Rogers, Clara Bow, and Richard Arlen starred in the first big picture about World War I flyers. What was the name of this picture?
We Fly Alone.
Hell's Angels.
No, that's very nice, but you're both wrong. It was Wings.
You now have $55.
All right, you still got a chance. Now, what are you going to go for? Little ones are easy. Which one? 80? 40?
We'll go for 80, Groucho.
80. Now, one answer this time. I don't want two answers like you did last time. In 1942, Greer Garson, that's a country woman of yours, and Walter Pidgeon starred in a movie about an English family during World War II. What was the name of this picture?
The name of it was Mrs. Miniver.
That's right. Mrs. Miniver's right.
And you wind up with $135.
Now, before you leave, I presume you're a British subject since you work in the Red Line Inn.
No, sir. I'm an American citizen.
Oh. But you still have a kind of a proprietary interest in
very
what goes on in the British Isles. Do you think that Captain Townsend should marry Princess Margaret?
I very definitely do.
Even if it disrupts the whole British Empire?
It's going to disrupt nothing. Just let them get married and be happy, that's all.
Well, that's a simple solution. And in the morning, I am going to send her a wire and tell her that Scotty, at the Red Lion Inn at the Hilton Hotel, advises her to get married immediately. Thanks to both of you, and good luck to the Soda Plymouth dealers. From Moose Jaw.
Groucho, we have a couple of special guests for you now. Mrs. Vinnie Dick, who is a housewife, and her partner, the world's top-ranking professional tennis player, Pancho Gonzalez. A vote you come in place of me. Groucho Marx.
Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealer. Say the secret word and divide $101. It's a common word, something you always have with you. Pancho, give me five. Glad to see you.
Nice to see you.
And you're Mrs. Vinnie Dick, eh? Vinnie, shake hands with the world's best tennis player.
Hello, Vinnie.
Hello, Pancho.
The only man in the world who has a better racket than I have. And, Pancho, I'll get around to you in a minute, but first I'd like to get better acquainted with Minnie. Oh, Vinnie. Are you a native Californian, Vinnie?
No, I was born in St. James, Missouri.
St. James Infirmary?
Center of the Ozarks.
Center of the Ozarks, huh? And do you live in Missouri now?
No, I'm a resident of Liberal, Kansas now.
Liberal, Kansas?
Liberal.
Well, that's an extraordinary coincidence. We had someone out here a little while ago from Liberal, Kansas. Is that little boy around here? Where is he? Say, Ben, come out here. I want to want you to meet one of your country women. This is Ben Pizzazza. Pizzazza. They're both from Liberal, Kansas. Isn't that you?
Quite quite.
You want to tell us something about the old town? Huh?
My uncle owned a machine shop.
His name was Montgomery, Robert Montgomery, and he burned this machine shop to the ground and neglected to have it insured, and so he was pauperized, and that's why Ben is now singing on television. So Ben, nice to see you, and thanks for coming out. Well, now then, isn't that an extraordinary coincidence? How big is this town?
It's a city of about 10,000.
Imagine, two people. We've never had that in the 9 years I'm doing this show. Two people from the same town. I mean, you could have two people from Chicago or Philadelphia or something, but from Liberal, Kansas. Well, wonders will never cease. Gosh, all hemlock. Gee whiz. Gosh. Well, what kind of a place is Liberal, and just how liberal is it, Vinny?
Well, it's a city situated in the southwestern part of Kansas, uh-huh. An extreme southwestern part, on the at the junction of highways U.S. 54 and 83.
Mm.
It is the capital city of a five-state shopping area, and it is also known chiefly for agriculture.
Mm.
However, there is a
I'll bet you imagine Benson must be very popular around there, huh?
Well, Pancho, I'll get back to you, Vinny, but let's find out something about you. I know a lot about you, but let us find out some more. Where are you from, Pancho?
I'm right here from Los Angeles.
Well, you're a very good advertisement for Los Angeles.
Well, wrap
that ball around. Were you always interested in tennis, or did you have a go at other sports?
No, I played other sports. I started out in school, in grammar school, and I played marbles. I was marble champ in 1935.
Really?
And
that was the year I lost my marbles.
I took up decathlon sports in the park, and I wanted
to. You took up Catholic sports, did you say?
No, decathlon.
Oh, decathlon. I don't hear well. My glasses need fixing.
And I also played football, baseball, and basketball in high school.
I see. Pretty rough sport, isn't it? Football, huh?
Well, yeah, I got knocked about a little bit.
I guess psychologically it isn't as tough as being out alone on a tennis court, though, huh?
Well, I had my nose broken on a tennis court.
You really did?
That's right. My very best friend did it to me, and then he looked at me and he says, "I'm sorry."
And didn't he even pay the doctor bill?
Someone did. I didn't.
What were you doing? Were you standing at the net and he
well,
an overhand smash at you?
No, he was my partner.
Oh, that's a fine partner to have, huh? Well, was he betting on the other team? Why did he?
No, we had a ball right in between us, and I was looking up at the ball and hollering mine, and he caught me with his backswing right across the middle.
Who was this scoundrel?
Hugh Stewart.
Oh, that big lumbering ox. I know him very well. Are you married, Pancho, or do you just play single?
No, I'm married.
Well, you can't win everything. You think marriage has helped your tennis?
Well, yes, I think it has.
Mm-hmm. I guess there's nothing like marriage to perfect a man's defense against a strong backhand. Smash, huh?
Well, it helped me in that I was staying in at nights back east during the touring instead of going out with the fellas playing poker.
Yeah, shooting crap with Bobby Riggs, huh? You were after him, huh?
That's right.
A lot of people were after Bobby Riggs, too. Very few of them caught him, though.
That's true.
You're a young, good-looking champ, Pancho. I'm sure you must be besieged by pretty girls. How does your wife feel about you playing a harmless game like tennis with beautiful babes in shorts? Mixed doubles, huh?
No, I don't play mixed doubles.
You don't play mixed doubles?
No.
Not even on the court?
No, they're bad for my tennis. My wife knows that.
Well, what have you got against girls?
Nothing, just they're bad for my tennis.
Well, you stick to your racket, and I'll stick to mine. How long have you been playing pro tennis?
I turned professional in October 1949.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time you came out in the Southwest tournament there. And you knocked off three of the ranking players in rapid succession.
Yes.
Drobny. Drobny. And
Parker and Falkenberg.
Oh, yes.
Those are the days.
These are the days, Pancho. What kind of a rating have you had as a professional?
Well, in my...
This is for the audience. I know what kind of ratings you have.
I had the rating of number 2 in 1950, 51, and 52. 53, 54, and 55, I had the rating of 1.
Mm-hmm. Is there as much money in professional tennis as there is in amateur tennis?
Well, I think there's a little more, but by the time income tax gets to us, they beat us.
You might just as well be playing Seabright and Forest Hills. Huh?
That's right, yes.
Well, that's a lot of money, $25,000-$30,000 a year. Why are you the best tennis player in the world?
I know
Kramer's getting fat, but...
He's getting fat in more ways than one.
You don't mean up here, huh?
Oh, no, that stays the same. I think I've just been fortunate to play well during the championships, and I've won them.
Well, you're just wonderful to watch out. I classify you with the immortals.
Thank you.
Tillman's and Donald Budge's and Kramer when he was thin. Did you ever see Tillman playing? I guess you were a kid.
No, I played a tour with him when he was 58 years old.
He was still pretty good, wasn't he? Yeah?
Great athlete, and he loved tennis more than anyone I think I've ever seen.
Do you do anything else besides playing tennis, Pancho?
Yes, I go into endorsements. I have a Pancho Gonzalez tennis short, the shirt, and my racket, which I try to promote when I'm here at home.
Did you ever play my son out there?
I don't think we ever played tennis against each other. Matter of fact, I heard he was a very good player.
Well, he played a couple years at Forest Hills. Got to about the third or fourth round. Are you interested in tennis, Benny?
No, I'm just interested in pancake racing.
In pancho racing? You want to race him?
Pancake
racing? Yeah. I've never seen a pancake race. I've seen a waffle lion.
Well,
this is a little different. What is a pancake race? Is that a new race that we're getting from the moon or something?
No.
New race of people? Little
you
people?
You haven't heard of it?
Not familiar with it. Are you familiar with a pancake race?
No, I'm afraid not.
No. What is a pancake race?
Well, perhaps...
You ought to be in the movie. You're a good-looking guy, Pancho.
Yeah, but this racket is a better racket.
Oh, can't you do both? And no, Owen was in the movies and playing golf.
Oh, yes. Possibly. I've never thought of it.
Nobody ever made an offer to you?
On my life story, yes. They want to make a movie of my life story.
I'll get around to it. But do it now. Don't wait till you get ugly. Like next week. What is a pancake race, Benny?
Pancake race is where the women race down the street 415 yards carrying a skillet with a pancake flipping it three times.
Flipping it in the air?
Yeah.
How high do they flip it?
Well, it all depends. Just so long as they get it turned over.
Why don't they run with stakes? I saw a steak race at Santa Anita last year. I sat in the grandstand licking my chops when my horse came out. Well, this is a whole new world that you're opening up here, Benny. Is this craze for pancake racing strictly a liberal affair?
No, it's international.
This craze is sweeping the country.
It's international.
Imagine sweeping the country with a pancake. It's an international race?
Yes.
What other countries compete against it?
Only England.
Oh.
And Liberal Kansas.
This is, I see. What?
Liberal Kansas and all in England.
This small town of 10,000 people competes against the British Empire?
Only.
And Schwabbevesen? You have a race between Kansas and England?
Yeah.
Don't the pancakes get soggy when you're crossing the Atlantic? You'll have to explain this if it's possible.
Well, the Liberal Kansas has a race course. It is a 415-yard S-shaped course racing down the main street of town.
This
and
town
only
has
a
main
a similar
street?
Course.
This town has a main
oh,
street?
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Even little towns have a
well,
main street. but in only England, they have a similar race course.
Mm-hmm.
And the
they
women...
They have a town called Liberal, too, in England?
Only.
Only Liberal?
Only England and Liberal Kansas.
Only England and Liberal.
Only is a little village in...
Oh, only is a village over
in
there.
In England.
Oh, I see.
The times are compared by transatlantic telephone call after the race has been run.
Well, who's ahead now, England or Liberal?
It's even now, 3-3.
I looked in the Wall Street Journal. It wasn't in there this morning.
It started in...
It just said I was wiped out in three of my stocks. There wasn't any mention of your pancakes at all.
Well, it's an old sport in England.
Well,
in fact,
I'm an old sport here, but that isn't...
It's over 500 years old in England.
Well, I'm not quite that old, but I'm moving along rapidly. How have you made out in this international flapjack race?
I have won the American in three times, and I have won the international twice.
Well, I want to congratulate you. I'm surrounded by world's champions tonight. Huh? Pancho, how do you feel standing next to a world's champion?
You're pretty good.
You've got more syrup than her pancakes. How fast was your time in these races, Benny?
I hold the world's record of 1:05.1.
That's fantastic. You must be grease lightning out there in the track. Have you ever thought of entering the Olympics?
I seriously considered it. However, I am considered pro because I have accepted $350 prize money for running the race.
I'm sorry to hear that. Without you on our team, the U.S. is certainly going to get flattened in the pancake race. How about training, Benny? Do you have to prepare for this?
I go into it very seriously. About
very seriously, isn't it?
About 2 months before the race, well, I eliminate sweets and fried foods from my diet and increase green vegetables and fresh meats in my diet. And then about a month before the race, well, I start in with my training program, such as doing a lot of walking as much as 3 miles a day.
You walk 3 miles a day?
And,
with a frying pan in your hand?
Sometimes. You have to get the feel of the skillet in your hand, because that is a handicap.
Yeah. That's true.
Right? I also have, since I do work through the day, well, I have to go out on these lonely country roads at night and do my training with my husband behind me in the car, clocking me with a stopwatch.
Now, what is your fighting weight for the championship?
92 pounds.
92 pounds.
I gained 2 pounds once, and my husband told me I had to lose it. It's too much.
Well, where did you lose it? In Liberal? Or, you mean 92 pounds? A stack of flapjacks weighs more than that. Pancho, what kind of training do you do when you defend your title?
I don't have any special training.
Your wife doesn't go out and run you in back of a car?
No, she might send the skillet out after.
Oh. Well, there you are. That's the difference between an ordinary world tennis champ and an international pancake champion. Pancho, if you want to beat Vinny, you'd better start chasing automobiles.
Well, she's got me tired already.
Was it much of a trick to run and flip flapjacks at the same time?
Yes. In fact, I almost lost a race once by dropping my pancake right at the finish line.
You dropped your pancake right at the finish line?
Yes.
Well, what happened? Did your elastic break?
No. I guess I was just excited. And then the,
well, did you,
know,
pick it up again? I mean, was there a mixed crowd there?
You can pick up the skillet.
Pick up your pancake?
You can pick up the pancake, flip it again, and then cross the finish line. However,
I didn't know you could flip those things. I thought you could just pick them up, that's all.
Oh, you flip them.
Uh-huh. Well, aren't they full of grease by this time? They don't care what condition this pancake is in when the race is over.
No, so long as you come in with one piece of it.
Uh-huh.
But you do have
smaller piece, would you say? You have to
well... there has been a lot
of controversy. What's the smallest piece you ever came in with, you know?
Well, even though I've dropped mine, I've always come in with a full pancake.
You dropped your pancake, but you still come in with it, eh?
Yeah.
But where do you drop your pancake? At Sandy Hook, like the ship's coming in from Europe? When is this contest held?
It's always on Shrove Tuesday. It's an annual event.
Shrove Tuesday?
Shrove Tuesday. That's the day before the start of Lent. Incidentally, it will be next February the 14th.
Well, isn't it pretty cold to be dropping your pancake around in February?
Well, most of the time, the weather is very pleasant. However, 2 years ago, I did get a mild case of frostbite.
Well, she thinks so. Very good. You have a good chance of freezing your waffle running away. Well, it's taken an educational talking to you two, and I'd like to continue, but the time has come to play You Bet Your Pancake. You both understand the rules, I presume, huh? If you win anything, of course, we pay you off in pancakes. Now, you selected small towns and cities of the United States. You've done a lot of touring, Pancho. You ought to be pretty good at this.
You'd think I would be. I hope so.
Well, I hope so. Well, don't forget, she's an expert. Now, you know, I'll list 6 cities and towns all in the same state, and you tell me in what state they're located. Remember, the more the questions wait, the harder it is. Now, you can start with 10, 20, all the way to 100. What do you want to start with?
90,
one answer 90, between
100.
100? 100. You're in the finals already, huh?
Well, that's my boss over here.
All right, what state are these towns and cities in? Green Cove Springs, Davy City, D-A-D-E, Fort Myers, St. Augustine, Live Oak, and D-Land.
Florida?
Yeah, that's right.
Florida.
Now, I heard somebody say that in the audience, and we're going to let them have this, but from now on, it makes it very difficult for them because we have to throw it out if we hear rooting from the audience. So if you'd all keep your trap shut until this is over. Yes, they knew it. Florida is right.
Thank you. You'll now have $200.
That's great.
Well, you're not home yet, Pancho.
No, it just reminded me of the professional tournament they hold in St. Augustine.
Oh. Well, now what are you going to go for?
Well, 90, I guess.
90? Here are the towns and cities. Vicksburg, Rolling Fork, Yazoo City, Natchez, Belzoni, and Wiggins. What state are they in? Vicksburg, Rolling Fork, Yazoo City, Natchez, Belzoni, and Wiggins.
Massachusetts?
No, you're quite a ways off. It's Mississippi.
All right. Well, you're back where you started. You still have $100.
You know, if Mississippi asked Missouri for her New Jersey, what would Delaware? Idaho, Alaska. That's what we used to say in school. And until I go back to school, I'm never going to repeat that again. What are you going to go for, Panch?
The 80, no, I guess.
Panch, what state are all these towns and cities in? Crown Point, Red Key, Rising Sun, Tell City, Kokomo, and Angola.
Indiana.
Back home again in Indiana. That's right.
And you now have $180.
Here's, now you can go all the way from 10 to 70. Last chance to meet the other couples. 70? Here are the towns and cities. Bonner's Ferry, Stover Springs, Moscow, Boise, Blackfoot, and Jerome. What is the state?
Idaho.
Idaho is right.
And you wind up with $250.
Well, thanks and good luck to the DeSoto Plymouth dealers from Moose Jaw, Kansas.
And that means that Mrs. Thompson and Ben Zeppa with $290 in just 1 minute. No, Zeppa.
Oh.
In just 1 minute, get the chance at the $2,000 question. Here's the winning couple graph show, Mrs. Thompson and Ben Zeppa, all set for the $2,000 question.
Bring in the platform, please.
Bring
in the platform?
Start over again.
We have a lot of production on our show, and this is, you know, this is a sort of a spectacular platform here.
And here's the winning couple, Groucho, Mrs. Thompson and Ben Zeppa, all set for the $2,000 question.
Well, here's your chance to get rid of that girl, Ben, and because you may have money after this. You also may not. All right, here we go for $2,000. I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on a single answer between you. Think carefully and please no help from the customer audience. Here it is. Captain James Cook discovered the Hawaiian Islands in 1778. For $2,000, what name did Captain Cook give to the Hawaiian Islands? What's the answer you two have decided upon?
I don't know if this
well,
is
right. What?
Bahamas?
No, wrong. It's the Sandwich Islands.
Ooh.
So that means the big question next week will be worth $2,500. Well, they lost the big money. How much did they win the quiz?
$290 in the quiz.
And didn't they win the secret word?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
well, how much is that total now?
$390.
No, what about the $1, George?
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. $391.
That's better, George. Well, congratulations and thanks to both of you and to all of our contestants on the show tonight.
Sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at the same time for the Groucho Marx Show, when the big question will be worth $2,500. Don't miss the Chrysler Corporation's big TV show on another network. And don't forget Groucho's television show, brought to you by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. We invite you to visit your neighborhood showroom tomorrow to see and drive the delightful, the lovely DeSoto for 1956.
And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you. Good night, folks, and remember, it's delightful, it's the lovely, it's the soda.
Folks, here's a reminder from the National Safety Council. Whether you're walking or driving, darkness is a signal to proceed with care and be more alert. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell. Directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jack Meekin. This is George Fetterman signing off for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. You Bet Your Life is heard by our armed forces throughout the world.
Thank you all for showing up, and we hope you all had a good time. Those who didn't, if you'll send me $12 in cash, just to defray the cost of mailing, we'll send you each a lifetime supply of Maiden Form bras. Good night.
Wait just a moment, folks. We'll take your picture, and you can then wave back at yourselves when you shouldn't have said that, because I have a great prejudice against waivers. If you wouldn't mind, fine, with some applause and a smile. What do we do? Oh, I see. This is why they pay extra so much money in the movie business. Light always goes on. Now, if you can recall about an hour ago and smile and applaud as if you had... Are we? Thank you. Like you had just met Mr. Martin. Thank you very much. Thank you.